This is a topic that I'm sure you've been waiting for, because we've talked about the dark sides, we've talked about addictive behaviors, we've talked about conflict management and how to navigate and win through conflict management. There's always a win. With God, there's always a win. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Now we want to come to the point of saying, how does this come together? What is a good example and model of how the church can bring domestic tranquility to the community, as well as within each church body, each church congregation? The church is not the building, folks. We know that. It's the people. So if it's the people, people have issues. We all have issues. Many of us have subscriptions and volumes of issues. Hence the joke. Yeah, he's got subscriptions and volumes of issues. Not just a few issues. But what we want to do is we want to now give to you, through the last part of the course here, a model of doing recovery and restoration and evangelism into the community at large. Because really what we need to create is a community of recovery. It's not us and them. It's not you and then those other people or those people who have problems. We all have problems. We all have issues. So why the demarcation? Why the big divide? There shouldn't be. We should be able to come together. Diversity and unity. Unity and diversity. See, it's kind of like this. If I could take you to the living room. And I've got my shoe here. And one day in the wintertime, here, I needed to get my boots out of the closet, and I was going to go outside to shovel the driveway. So I got my boots, and I'll just take one shoe to illustrate. I took the boots, I had the one boot in my hand. I thought, okay, here we go. A lot of snow outside. Got to do a lot of shoveling of that snow so we can get through our driveway with the car and also the walkways and so forth. Now, mind you, our family has a lot of aspects to it. Every family does. We have our different traditions. We have different interests. And one of our interests, we're not dog people, we're cat people. Now, you dog people are saying, oh my goodness, Dr. Mark, you're a cat person? You don't know what you're missing. Dogs are the best. God bless you. I fully appreciate that. I appreciate dogs too. I grew up on cats, and we became a cat family. Again, traditions, expectations. My wife, she grew up with cats, so we became a cat family. Up north, in northern Michigan, where we were living in Lake City, a small town near Cadillac, Michigan, we had a lot of snow, and I was going to go out there and shovel, and we had a cat who was a kitten, and he was very active, and he would bring things, we let him go outside, and he would bring things to the door, or he would bring gifts, like a dead mouse, as well as a dead rabbit. He was a great hunter. That he would make himself look like he didn't do it, but also to say, hey, look what I did. And aren't I suave? Aren't I a great kitty cat? I'm the hunter. I'm like the spy, the James Bond of cats. He knew how to do it well. So, on this winter day, I get my boots. I sit down, and I take the one boot, and I start to put my foot into the boot. Okay, but for some reason, my foot could not get into, my toes could not get into the toe part of the boot. And so I kept on pushing and pushing, and something felt spongy. Something felt weird, strange in my boot. So I took out my foot out of the boot, and I took my hand to reach into the boot. And as I reached in, I started to feel what was in the boot. And unfortunately, it was what I started to think, what I was feeling, what it was. And it was a dead mouse. Ah! A dead mouse in my boot! Of course, I got the towel, got it out, threw it away, washed my hands, I was able to put my boots on and go outside and shovel, get that snow out of the way, as I got that mouse out of the way. Of course, the joke always has been since that day, and this is 20 years ago that this happened, was that either the cat, which we didn't know, killed the mouse and put it in my boot, or the mouse was in the house and the mouse went into the boot. And as the mouse went into the boot, the mouse could not get out, perhaps, or just like to live in there for a little bit. We don't know. And the joke was that the mouse died because of the smell of my feet. Well, I've used that example many times in sermons and speeches. It's a funny, funny thing. True story, a mouse in the boot, a discovery that was inevitable and it had to happen so I could put my boot on to get out to do the work of shoveling that snow. So when we think about recovery, when we think about what the church ought to be, how we establish domestic tranquility in our communities and bring the gospel to people who are desperate to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, it begins with understanding where people are at. And where people are at is that their lives are like the boot or the shoe. There's a lot of smelliness in our lives. Their lives are messy. Our lives are messy because we're human. All of us are human. In fact, the point of coming to church is that we don't have it all together. None of us do. The point of coming to church is that we don't have it all together and we need Jesus to put us back together again, like Humpty Dumpty. Where we've fallen off, we've fallen short of God's glory, and we've fallen down, and everything, we're a bunch of parts, a bunch of pieces. And Jesus knows exactly what to do to put things back together again in the right place. So we go back to the boot, because then, as Jesus puts us back into place, you see, ministry is messy. As we say at New Community Church here in Grand Rapids, and also with Community Recovery in Grand Rapids, and also in India, and also Kenya and Bangladesh, as we work in those three countries as well. No mess, no ministry. No mess, no ministry. If you have a mess to work with, you've got a ministry. You have parts to consider, to look at, and how Jesus only can put things back together again. There's ministry. And it's what God has called us to do and to be. And yeah, things may look good on the outside, structurally sound, but inside, it's smelly. Inside, there's a skeleton, which I found, like a skeleton of a dead mouse. There are skeletons inside of our hearts. And God says to you and me, I want you to go in as I, through the Holy Spirit, empower you to go in and remove those skeletons. Of course, God removes them. Because I can't fix you, you can't fix me, I can't fix people. Only God can, but God calls us to be His tools, His instruments, a blessing to bring people out and to bring the messiness out and to bring fresh life, empowerment into people's lives. What is that? Well, that's where the term recovery comes into play. That's where the term restoration comes into play. That's how the church can be the redemption of the world, the hope of the world. And where then people, as coming back to just looking at people as people, they can then put their boots on and stand up and get to work for the glory of God. But how does this work? How can the church approach every person's boot, every person's life, where they are? The vision about this is to bring a point of contact to people. On the first slide, to tell you about this, and to go over what it means to have church be a recovering agent, to be that agent of recovery. It's this, to become that side door. We know that with church down through history, people are focused on the main door, the front door. The front door is where I come on in to the building to do church, to be church with other people, to come and worship together with other believers. The main door. However, we have people in your town, in my town, in every society, whether in the West or the East, where they have a smelly boot, or smelly boots, smelly lives, messy lives, and they're not too sure if they should come through that main door without being shamed, shunned, and rejected, and therefore not accepted. It should be the opposite, where they come through the main door and they are accepted right away, received where they are, and Jesus then restores them to the body of believers. That's the vision, truly. But also, there needs to be another vision to come alongside that to help empower that vision of having people come as they are and truly be restored by Christ. Where the people of God can if, because unfortunately we live in cultures where some things are shunned, some things are shamed, or there's stigma and there's awkwardness and messiness. And people don't always see eye to eye or accept other people, or there's too much conflict. Again, remember conflict? Too much red zone, too much emotion and shaming and blaming going on, that some people don't feel comfortable coming into the main door. What they need is a side door. They need another door to bypass that main door and come in that side door. The side door. So that eventually they can make it through the main door. That could be after the first time going through this side door, or maybe after a year, a month, whatever it could be. But that side door, that have an open door and also an open chair for that new person is always made available all the time. So here on the slide, Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 31 to 41, that to those who were on His right, remember the story? The sheep on His right, He said, come, those who are who have, with your inheritance, those who have been loved by My Father, come, for You fed Me when I was hungry. You clothed Me when I was naked. You came to visit Me in prison, and so forth. Lord, Lord, when did we see You naked or hungry or and so on? If You've done it to the least of these, My brothers and sisters of Mine, You did it unto Me. And also, that side door, that point of contact, You make things available for people with messy lives to then get cleaned up by God's power. That's the idea. And so maybe this is a new concept for you. Because we're all accustomed to the main door. But having that side door so that those who are having issues, I mean, we all have issues. We all do. And we all really need the side door, in effect, which really ought to be the main door. But we get into this main door, side door business, but for a good reason. Just because we all fall short of God's glory, and we're all sinners, and we all need help, and we need some mechanisms, some places where we can get into the people of Christ, the body of Christ, so we can heal. We can be restored by God's power. So we need to meet people where their needs are, not where we expect them to be as believers. And finally, we need to bridge the gospel through their felt need and issues. Now, Community Recovery International, that's the name of the whole of the nonprofit. Community Recovery's vision is to bridge people who are in recovery, and the people in general, to God, to themselves, and to the community of Christ. Bridge them over. You are the bridge. We are the bridge. So they can walk over to God. Remember the bridge illustration that we had in the other video? God's over here, mankind is over here, and in between is that separation, that chasm, the abyss, separation, and the only thing that can bridge mankind over to God's side is Christ Jesus. He is the bridge. He is the bridge. And so, bridging is to, of course, that bridge illustration where God uses you and me to bring people to that side door into the main door, the main floor in God's presence. And God heals all of us. And why we have this separation where we have an us and them mentality in the church, I don't care what denomination, group, tradition, whatever, we all get into this us and them thinking. And it is stinking thinking. Because the community is the church. And the church is the community. So what is the mission, the day-to-day about this? How do we go about this? What's the mission? What are we all about every day? Where we're headed as far as bridging at Community Recovery. And I pray that you can adopt this same vision in the way that fits your ministry and what God's called you to do. In another expression, because we're diversity and unity, unity and diversity. So we're giving you a model here today to bridge people over. But secondly, what's the mission? Well, first it's to receive, to capture recovering people, people who have issues, where they are. Secondly, it's to restore them to God and self, and also to return them, to re-enter society so that they can, they're coming through the main door now. They come to the main door, and not that they're main door people, they're just coming to the main door in general, period. Into the community of Christ. And the church is a recovery center, a spiritual hospital. Now you think about a hospital, what do you have when it comes to receiving people where they are? People come to the emergency room, that main door, the hospital, everybody does, because there's a big urgent need. My arm's broken. I'm pneumonia. I just know it. I can't breathe, and so on. Or if the baby's coming, the baby's coming. Help! And you're going through ER. Time to get to the doctor. Get into the birthing room and give birth to, Lord willing, a healthy child. So we want to give birth. We want to give birth to that spiritual hospital with every church, every situation, every need can be, hopefully, of course, only by God's power can this happen, where every felt need can be addressed. And, of course, we have a diversity of churches, so we need every church with every expression, of course, centered on Jesus Christ to bring recovery and restoration to every person. Well, this is where we are all in. And you have to be all in. The pastors, the staff, volunteers, We expect imperfect people. Again, God tells us in Scripture to carry each other's burdens, to be interdependent, not codependent. Now we're trying to fix each other, to be interdependent, and to apply recovery principles. For example, with the 12 steps of recovery and their biblical comparisons, which we showed you in the other video, we first start with the fact that we all need to surrender. Step one, that we admit that we're powerless over our tendencies to do the wrong thing. Romans 7 says, and I said this in other videos, Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I hate, I do. And what a wretched man, or what a wretched woman that I am. So imperfect people, 12 steps. And the Scripture is the foundation, because it's Jesus Christ who heals us. And also, the principles are that they're biblical, which are that the church is the people, that people can be transformed. There's a big difference between transaction and transformation. Transaction and transformation. What do I mean? Transaction says that I, as the giver of the help, give with an expectation of something in return. There's a transaction. I pay for the food at McDonald's, and the order is brought to the counter for me to take on the tray to my table to consume. Transaction. I always expect something in return, or return on investment, as opposed to transformation. Transformation. You see, where here I am as the giver of the care, of the help in Jesus Christ, as Jesus has restored me to begin with, and as I then, through the spiritual gifts and calling God's given me, minister to someone else, they then are transformed by the renewing of their minds, as we've been transformed, okay, and they give back and reproduce what Jesus Christ does in their lives. And as a result, what God does is that God continues to transform me. As we say in recovery, oh God, it's a recovery prayer. Lord Jesus, bless her, bless him, change me. Transaction does not promote this. Transaction is an expectation of return. There's a human expectation. Return to the giver. There's an expectation of return to the giver. Here, transformation is an expectation of God changing, healing, and restoring the receiver and giver. So transformation, very biblical. It's God then transforming her or him, as well as you, as that giver, as well as the receiver, who becomes then a giver of God's love to someone else and to another place. Remember Mark chapter 5, the Gerasene demoniac, legions of demons inside of him, and Jesus Christ comes on that beachhead. He arrives. And we know that Jesus Christ is in the business of transformation. And the expectation is that Jesus Christ, who is God, changes and heals and restores, drives out those demons out of that man, and places him back into his right mind, or into the right mind that God gave him to begin with, so that he could then think clearly and be connected to God the Father. And of course, Jesus Christ, who is God, models how, through the power of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, models to his disciples what happens when we, with God's power, bring God's love and restoration to someone else. And what happens? That Gerasene demoniac, who became a man of God, was the first evangelist to the 10 cities right nearby that region of Gerasene, or the Decapolis, the 10 cities. And so, Jesus Christ models that for us when it comes to becoming a non-judgmental, go back to the slide, the non-judgmental, empowering, transforming, and resourcing, Jesus-driven, purpose-driven group of people that are about transformation, not transaction. Unfortunately, we've seen the church historically be about transaction. Okay, I go through the main door, and as I go through the main door, I sit in my pew or my chair, and I do my time, I do my worship experience, and I go home, and nothing more. And unfortunately, that for a lot of people, it becomes ritual, routine, and therefore transactional, where I expect to have good feelings, feel better about myself, and go home and try to live a good life. That's not transformational. We know this. Biblically speaking, we know this. And perhaps right now, God is pricking at your heart saying, oh, now I understand. I hope we all do here as we're watching this video, how then Jesus is calling us to be transformational people. People about recovery, beginning with ourselves. As we said in the conflict video, how am I the problem? How can I be restored by God so I can then help restore others? Because that's being biblical, that's being transformational, Jesus-driven, and where God then helps us to get rid of, again, put at the door, those pretenses, prejudices, barriers, whatever it is. Also, a question I've also posed to those in India, and also, crossing over, those who are in India, and also for those who are in Africa, looking at tribes or the caste system or other systems that are similar, where people are born into a tribe or born into a system where that's where they stay, and it's very rigid. How has that created barriers? Well, that's the answer is obvious. Expectations, also transaction, where you, and also barriers where you can't go beyond what barriers have been put on you by the community. And Jesus Christ, He then brought in transformation. He brought in the stooping down to give the hand up, not the hand out, but to give the hand up to the woman caught in adultery, John chapter 8. So who is accusing you now? Jesus asked the woman. No one. Go and sin no more. Amazing. Also, John chapter 4. The woman at the well. The Samaritan. Scandalous. If you know that story well, and if you don't, please look it up in John chapter 4. You read about how Jesus approaches her in the heat of the day, and she gives him a drink, and he tells her all about her life, and she invites everybody to come to know Jesus, and she becomes the evangelist and someone who is not fully Jewish and, in that culture, female. And how a male in that culture speaking to a female one-on-one was truly scandalous. And the disciples came back from getting food and whatever. They were saying, Jesus, what are you doing? Talking to this woman. But let me show you, Jesus says. Let me show you, and he modeled for them transformation. transformation. So whatever culture, whatever community you're in, we need to be a community of transformation, acceptance, and restoration. Because it's about calling. We're called to be passionate, having passion for people, to be servant leaders, empowering others over ourselves and bridging them into service as we talk about the transformation where we reproduce ourselves through God's power and more people that are able to give back and to be transformers for Christ. And there's hope in calling. And I put hope as this. Hope is becoming healthy against self-awareness. Self-awareness. And we talked about that a lot in this course. From self-awareness and being healthy to the all of hope of being others-focused but Christ-centered. And we are not to the point of codependency, but the point of interdependency. And also we're going where God calls us to go, to bring the good news. Passion, the P of hope. We're passionate about a particular group of people. And recovery is about everybody. Everyone. All ages, all families, all sectors of life. E of hope is encouragement. Some of you are gifted by God with a gift of encouragement. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, we read about that. And also, that encouragement in general does come through as we have the attitude of no mess, no ministry, and yes, there's a mess, and therefore there's a ministry to be done together as the body of Jesus. And finally, the point is to attract unbelievers to our hope in Jesus Christ and begin with their need, where they are, not where we expect them to be. Okay, strategy. What is a strategy in this model of recovery and how the church can become that spiritual hospital? Well, it begins with decision. Decision. What is your DNA? You need to ask the question of your church body. Regardless of denomination, what is the DNA? What is our desire for the gospel? Is it? Is it the desire for the gospel? Or is it not? Is it to make the church a club? Or is it to make the church body a hospital where we always have the emergency room at the main door, not only at the side door, but at the main door too? So we can bridge it over there too, where there's one big main door eventually. And help people understand that there are needs and we can be a part of the solution as God chooses to use us as His agents of blessing. And also direction, those side doors and the how. We need to look at where the how can come in terms of, yes, recovery groups, we can look at that. Also at different kinds of worship experiences, prayer time, as well as Bible study, as well as other things that can be all-inclusive. And we also look at this too. We look at people, not policy. See, the people need to drive the policy, not the policy to drive the people. Here's what I mean. As we look at transformation, let's go over here back to the board. As we look at transformation and transaction, quite often in transaction, we are saying to the other person, well, because of my duty, not because of my passion, desire, my duty, I'm here to help you to, you know, make myself feel good and also, you know, get something out of in return. And we have many Bible stories about that too. And we think about, you know, the parable of the 10 bags of gold, for instance. But now we look at transformation. Transformation is where we are about the person that God has called us to. It begins with God. The given is that it begins with Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ brings us to the person. And what policy can be recognized and also employed so we can empower people and also as we look at empowering people, we are adaptable. We are adaptable. Over here with transaction, it's not as adaptable. It's about duty, not desire. It's about a return that we expect, as opposed to the reproduction that God expects to do and will do as we are faithful to the Lord and also Him working through us, and to adapt to the messiness of other people's lives and situations. It's a calling. It's a calling. What cross are we willing to bear? What cross has God placed on us, which then translates into passion, calling, desire, and then therefore placement, where God places us in different places to do recovery, to restore people with God's help. So let's go back to the slideshow. We look at strategy, which brings direction, results. Results, results, results. With God, there's, of course, not always in our time, but in God's timing. Planting seeds and so forth, this all applies as we look at recovery, as well as church planting and evangelism. Planting seeds and discipleship takes time. If we look at scriptures, if I want to reference Genesis 1 to 2, Jeremiah 31, Romans 3, Ephesians 2, 1 Corinthians 9, look up these passages. This gives us a theology of the human experience. Genesis 1 to 2. God made us good to begin with. He did. We have a heart that's been put in us that God has made good. And that English word good doesn't give it justice. A complete heart. But in Genesis 3, which I did not put in this slide, but if we follow up with Genesis 3, we realize that, yes, though there was the capacity with the heart to disobey God, and Adam and Eve did. And then Jeremiah 31, though, God comes right back to us, and through the prophecy of Jesus and Messiah, and Jesus coming and dying and resurrected from the dead, He puts His law on our hearts to make our hearts complete again through the Holy Spirit. And also Romans 3:23, to complement this, to understand, yes, we are all fallen short of God's glory, but through the gift of Jesus Christ, and again, Romans 6:23, the gift of Jesus Christ, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, we read about this, especially verse 8 and 9, by the grace and gift of Jesus Christ, we are then made whole and complete. And 1 Corinthians 9, as we're into transformation, and where God does the reproduction, we become all things to all people that where God will save many, many for His glory. So that's the theology of people in these passages to look at and to study further as we look at how to become a community to, you know, as far as recovery in the church. Also, what do people need? Well, I've got the five A's. The five A's: acceptance, accountability, action, affirmation, and access. Again, as I looked at caste, or again, therefore tribe, or looking at class system, worldview, the question remains, everybody, is everyone welcome? Is everyone welcome? Now, I'll give a caveat to this. There is an exception. Not everybody's going to come through our doors, because we do, some people need an expression of God's body, of Jesus' body, than yours. However, the people that God does call you to, He does want you to be that welcoming, open, side door to main door place to receive people where they are. But still, the question remains, every day, are we welcome? Are we there? Are we transformational? As opposed to being transactional. And also, too, with strategy, direction, what do people need? Is there need a preparation of the heart? You know, and God prepares our hearts, of course. There's a place where we're to be in God's hand, and also to project confidence. We have confidence in Jesus Christ, regardless of the trial, the test, good times, bad times. We need to project to them that, yes, we have hope through Jesus Christ. And they need to receive that message. And as I said earlier about church being a hospital, we also translate that into a healing center. where healing happens. And so I want you to ask the question, as I just asked here just now, about becoming welcoming. What is your church's vision? Why do you exist? What is the felt need of your people? What's the felt need of your community? And how can that come together? And also, how? The how here, again, what is the methodology? What will fill that need? And I recommend to you, recovery. Recovery, recovery, recovery. As far as how this goes, because recovery can be in the form of many different kinds of groups. Yes, we look at Alcoholics Anonymous, we look at Narcotics Anonymous, but also we need to look at support groups in general that can be either therapeutic or just support or a whole variety of things. Okay. Also, where are your core church members at this? Where are they at with this? Where to from here? Where to from here? As we look at the direction. So, recovery as evangelism. I've been pushing on this ever since. And so, recovery as evangelism. Evangelism is good news, grace amidst chaos. Recovery is sanctification expressed in biblical context. So, you're saying, you may be asking, well, what is recovery? How does that really work? Well, we looked at the recovery steps earlier in this course. I would refer back to that video. And secondly, we've also looked at the dark side and also addictive behavior. There is recovery, meaning to be restored to the person that God meant for you to be. Huh, it kind of sounds like sanctification. Huh, it kind of sounds like Jesus forgiving me and me becoming more like Jesus. Very much so. So recovery just isn't about drugs and alcohol. It's about all of life, all of about you, and welcoming and receiving people where they are, and having the boundaries to so that we can have the safe places where people can heal, be restored, spiritually, emotionally, and therefore physically. You are what you believe. Also, redemptive. As I mentioned, becoming God's person, where you can say, hey, I'm a believer who struggles with, and just keep going through the list each day, each week. Also, restorative, to restore relationships with God and others, and renewal of people and creation. Because we're also looking at reunion. You receive people, for example, who have been estranged from their families. That just recently, I was on the phone with a dad. And he said, yeah, my son and I are not talking. He's a senior in high school. His mom and I have been divorced for 10 years. And I don't know what to do, Dr. Mark. Can you call him up? Can you connect with him, please? I said, okay. We gave it a shot. And it doesn't always work. Some people will not receive that call or say, well, who are you, Pastor? Fortunately, this young man did, and he connected with me. I had to make a call, left a voicemail, he called me back. He said, yeah, my dad, if he would only do this and only do that, and I don't like it, he's doing this and doing that. And he was just full of anger, resentment. I said, okay, well, tell me more about this. How do you feel? How can I pray for you? Now, you take that exchange and bring that into a group setting. People can go to a group with an open chair, and they know they can come to that open chair and say, oh, here's what I'm struggling with. I'm a believer in Jesus, or I'm a seeker, I don't know who Jesus is yet, or wherever they're at spiritually, who's struggling with this or that. I'm depressed. I'm angry. I had a bad day. The church needs to be a safe place to come. Unfortunately, we know that the church historically, as I mentioned, has not always been as welcoming. And quite the opposite, unfortunately, where you have to have it all together to be in this sanctuary. No. It doesn't matter where you are. Come on in. come on in. If you're coming out of jail or prison and you're watching this video, and you're fresh out of jail or prison, or it's been a couple of years and you're still getting established, or wherever you're at, or maybe you are still incarcerated, there's hope in Jesus Christ. And there are churches around you that are saying, just come on in. It'll be okay. The video on reentry will address also how the churches here gradually, and here in Western Michigan, we are working with the churches, Community Recovery is working with the churches, and other local places, locales, as we say, in the United States and other parts of the world. They're working on creating a network of bodies of believers, churches of Jesus, with open doors. Come on in. Let's reason together, says the Lord. I will make you clean. I will give you a new start. I'll help you through the problems and issues. I'll bring reunion, reconnection between you and myself, God says, and between you and my people. Because you are my son. You are my daughter. Come home. Come home. Reminds me of Luke 15. Luke 15. We talk about the prodigal son, but it's also, as Tim Keller says in his book, the prodigal God. You know, it's the father, it's the son, there are all kinds of dynamics going on there. And a lot of cultural things Jesus is touching on. But the idea is that, yes, once I was lost, but now I am found. Found. Reconnection. Reconnection. So recovery is outreach. Great Commission. We've been talking about that all the way through here. We reach out. What you would do with evangelism, you say, hey, we've got a safe place to come on in for worship, but also for a group you can go to and talk about your problems. Talk about your issues. It's okay. It gets messy, but it's okay. To baptize and have baptisms and just come on up. You don't have to answer a bunch of questions. Just believe in Jesus, Romans 10:9. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He died for you, He rose again for you, and you will be saved and have restoration. And also, how? Discipleship. Discipleship is this, folks, in a simple definition. It is this. Pointing people to Jesus. That's what discipleship is. And as we point people to Jesus, then that brings them into the Word of God and into God's love and God's grace, and also with God's love, helping person to overcome fear and also understand the Ten Commandments, and also has Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of the Ten Commandments and also the prophets and so on, and how to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Yes! Pointing people to Jesus first, and then brings them right into the whole sanctification process. And recovery and the church is all about that. Being a spiritual hospital. And also, too, the need, the desire, the accountability. It's all fitting there, too. And evangelizing, establishing, equipping. We evangelize, we bring the good news of the gospel. And also, we bring them into those groups and all, along with Bible studies and Scripture throughout. They can understand who God is and how to follow Jesus. And also to give them the tools to tell someone else. Remember, transformational. Transformational, transformational. Not transaction. To bring the good news to someone else. Community. Recovery as community. All-inclusive. Broaden the scope. Acceptance of all people. Bring the community where they are. Where there is none, to create community. If people are disconnected, reconnect them. And to bolster reproduction. The pastor never does it all. We are all ministers of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are all involved in transformation as God does it through you and me. Church growth. Church growth as well. We talk about church growth not only in the numbers, 1 plus 1 is 2, 2 times 2 is 4, but also it's one life at a time. And it was one at a time, then two at a time, and then I mean, as we go back to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. Now, the Holy Spirit filled Peter, as we read, about Pentecost, as well as the disciples there, and the Holy Spirit comes down, He speaks to people, of course, by the Mass, and the 3,000 come to Christ that day, and more after that. Thousands come to know Jesus, and they come to follow Jesus. But also, it's that person, one-on-one, or that small group, or even a mid-sized group, whatever, however that dynamic, you know, however it is. But also, the infrastructure has that first, that open chair, and where you prepare, you plan, let's get ready for what God's going to do. Be ready, and I'm not talking about transactional, I'm talking about transformational, because as God brings people through your side door, main door, you need room to put them. Because, as I say, and also Dr. Schuller, who was at the Crystal Cathedral from before, and also others in church growth, they talk about thinking in retail. Because in retail, for example, you go to your clothing store or you go to your grocery store, and what do? They make sure they have enough room for their product so you can buy the groceries, which, and of course, in effect, means, and yes, that's transactional, I know, but you're buying the groceries, let's, for the example, the illustration, you're buying the groceries and therefore you have food to eat. And how do the grocery stores prepare for you to come? Well, they have a big enough building to have all the food, all the grocery items that you need, whether it be dog food, cat food, for your animal, as well as food for yourself, for people food, as well as having another section, perhaps, for electronics and other things. You know, you have these superstores. They make room. And then also you have the parking lot. So they make sure there's a place to come, because in our day and age, we have cars. So the cars, you have a parking lot. You can park your car. You can then connect with. But also there's, in effect, a transformation. How come? Well, if I am hungry, I go to the grocery store. Or if I am, my clothes are about to fall off my body because they're tattered and torn, and I go to the clothing store, I'm going in there to get the food so I can eat the food and be who I am and to put clothes on because I can't walk around naked. And I can be who God wants me to be. That's transformational. So we need to have that church growth where we have that place where people can come. There's room for everyone. And we continue to create that room. And then we plant other church sites. Church planting. To have, again, that all-inclusive, that open door, the open chair for the new people. We're about to come in and say, yes, I want Jesus, and I want to be part of this group of believers. And identity, and to identify new felt needs, and where new ministries can come up based on what the felt needs are. And in addition, and so that there are different groups for different needs. Church growth. Church growth. But of course, it's Christ-centered and looking at others and where they're at, and going from there. Recovery is church, of course. We've talked a lot about this already. God is people, not buildings. Restoration, the church experience. We're not into institutionalism. For example, you know of church groups that have unfortunately gone to that place of all denominations where they've made it into an institution. They've made it into a club. You're not part of our club, so you can't come. Or, you know, you're not following the policy. You got to follow the rules. Okay, what rules? Well, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but aren't we about grace? Enough said. We need to be adaptive. We need to be, yes, we do need policy, but again, people drive policy, not policy driving people. And also being non-judgmental. Matthew 7, I'm not to judge my neighbor, but I'm to point them to Jesus. And also employ meaningful traditions that can change with minimal issue. There's nothing wrong with traditions. What can go wrong with traditions if traditions become the God rather than God being the God over the tradition? I'll say it again. Traditions are okay. Nothing wrong with them. But with tradition, if they become the God, again, follow the rules. Oh, what? Oh, yeah, based on that tradition. But they become the God, that's wrong. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. And He is Lord over every tradition. Some traditions will have to change if they become the replacement of God Himself. So we need to be open, radical inclusion, follow Jesus, be adaptive. So, community recovery, what we have done is we have created a model of recovery that I'm going to talk more about in the next video on creating a community of recovery. And what we've done, and perhaps with our illustration and our model, you can learn how to put some things together that will fit your context. And how recovery ministry, as well as the restorative ministry, or another name for it, can be effective where you are for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that you have the foundations coming through, where with recovery, the church becomes that spiritual hospital to produce domestic tranquility for everyone coming out of sin and into God's grace.